Melissa. I'm an alcoholic. And I have a home group, and like she said, it's in the Richmond area. It's Jaywalkers, and we meet on Tuesday and Friday nights. And that's pretty much been my home group since I started, and my sobriety date is March 3rd of 2005, and have a sponsor, and she was in that home group too. That's where I met her, and now she still comes to that meeting now and then, but she branched off and started her own home group, which is pretty cool. So I'll just start out with, you know, how it was, you know, how I grew up, and, you know, how things are today. So I am an only child, and I'm from Hopewell, Virginia. And my dad is an alcoholic. My mom is not. She never, like, drank a drop. So, but my dad, however, he drank enough for all of, you know, everyone. I just remember, you know, growing up, and for the most part, I mean, my dad was fun, you know, like, I don't have any really bad memories of him, although today they do kind of creep up. Like, it's weird how, you know, I would have told you before that, like, my dad is awesome, and he is, but, you know, and that I had nothing, you know, no resentments towards him, but they have come up, you know, at some point or another, through inventory. So, but I didn't think I did. So growing up, you know, he wasn't abusive or anything like that. He was just fun, you know, like happy-go-lucky. He was just, you know, my mom worked, she was like a workaholic. So I was home with my dad a lot. And then, you know, he would just, it was always party, you know, party at my house. All his friends were over, and I was little, and I thought that was fun, you know. I would go out and hang out with he and his friends in the garage, and that's how I had my first sip of beer, you know. I was like, Dad, let me taste that, you know. And I don't remember how old I was, but I was really young, and I thought it tasted terrible. It was Miller Lite. And that is, like, my favorite beer today. But anyway, and that was just my choice, too, I guess, because I just grew up having that. But so I thought it was terrible, and, you know, but I guess just growing up around it, seeing how much fun it was for him, that's just what it became for me for a while. So, you know, just growing up was fun, but I guess I'll get to the parts where the resentment kind of came in, like nowadays. You know, I can remember when I was little, you know, being an only child, some of my cousins weren't allowed to spend the night, you know, because they all knew, you know, my aunts and uncles, you know, they knew how my dad was. I mean, they knew my mom was responsible, but they knew she worked, you know, and so they knew that if my cousins were coming, that it would be my dad, and who knows what would be going on. So I didn't really have a lot of that going on, like people coming to spend the night, unless it were friends whose parents didn't keep up too well or something like that, so they didn't know. So I was alone a lot as far as growing up, you know, being an only child, and I was with my mom and my dad a lot. I mean, he'd take me everywhere, to the bars, to wherever he went to drink, you know, I would go, which was fun to me. At that age, he'd let me drive his truck. I mean, like, I was probably 10 years old on these country roads like this, you know, because Prince George County was pretty close, and my grandfather's an alcoholic, too, so we would all go meet, and uncles and alcoholics, so we'd all go meet up, and, you know, I just thought it was great, because my grandpa was there, my dad was there, my mom was at work, you know, we'd always go to parties and hang out with all these people at a little store and just get together and drink at a little table, and all their kids were there, too, so then I'd play with them, and then I didn't even think that, you know, we're driving home drunk, you know, my dad's drunk, and we're lucky to have made it home, you know, and today I think about that, but not so much today, but I have. So that's kind of how it was. I mean, you never knew what was going to go on. Some of the bad times I recall with him was just, you know, school nights, going to bed, and being woke up by either the police coming to my house because my dad hit and run someone, you know, and he didn't even know. He's blacked out in the car. and my mom has to go out there and get them and drag them in the house because she would basically beat him up to go to work the next day. I mean, he was pretty responsible. Like, he always went to work the next day. But she, like, had to, like, drag him out of the bed, drag him to the house, you know. She'd have to wake me up in the middle of the night so we could go pick him up because she didn't want him to get another DUI because our insurance was just sky high and stuff like that. And I can remember going in the bars to get my dad or calling the bars to get my dad, and he'd be, like, sitting by some other woman. You know, and how that used to, I mean, I guess it didn't affect me too much for a while, but then later it did, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, my dad's cheating on my mom, you know, and it was kind of bad, and I was like, I'm so never going to be like him, you know, but yet I loved him, you know, it was really weird, and I would never confront him with it, really. He'd come in, pee in the closet, think it's the bathroom, you know, just all kinds of stuff, you know, my mom was just like, stayed with that, you know, and she says that she stayed with him because, for me, because she didn't want to split our family up. Sorry if I get emotional, but, So, yes, it did affect me, but anyway, then, you know, we'll just get back to my drink now. So, as the days, went on, you know, I guess for me, it was just like anybody else, I thought, like, you know, high school, I guess high school is when it mostly started, you know, I wanted to be in with the in crowd, and I always hung out with older people, older guys, older girls, you know, I was just, and I'd go out and just drink a couple, you know, wherever I could, like, and I liked the way, you know, I can remember, not to the date or anything like some people can, but, you know, I can remember how alcohol made me feel after a while, like, I just drank, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm there, it's great, you know, I don't have to be so uptight and nervous anymore, I can just let loose, and you know, and that's just kind of how it was from the beginning of drinking. And it started out just on the weekend, you know, I didn't have my license yet. People would just come pick me up and I'd go drink one or two. And I felt like that was just normal, you know, everybody was doing it. And so I did that and I didn't even have a worry that I would be like my dad. That thought never even crossed my mind. But it crossed my mom's, you know. She, poor thing, she would come home and be like, were you drinking, you know? And I was like, no, and I just lied, you know. It was just like everything I said was a lie all the time. Like, and she was not stupid, you know. She didn't drink, so, I mean, obviously she could smell it, you know, just like she smells it on my dad and everything else. So I guess that's why I get so emotional, too, because, you know, what my dad put her through and then what I put her through. But, so high school, you know, I did average with my grades, you know, I passed and, you know, I didn't party too hard. I just did what I thought everyone else was doing. It was just on the weekends and just hanging out. And, as far as like relationships goes, you know, that didn't get too crazy until later too, pretty much till, after, you know, after I graduated, just, but I always wanted, you know, an older person, you know, an older guy, the cooler person, you know, I wanted to go to all the parties, and I did, and just, you know, but I thought it was so normal, you know, and today I even still think it kind of is, you know, that, I mean, in high school, people are partying, you know, not everybody, though, I mean, you know, you have your studiers, and then, you know, I just hung out, and just did normal things, I thought. And no real trouble either. No, I didn't really get in much trouble at that time. And then later on, I guess after I graduated, you know, I got into some bad relationships. Just two different guys, abusive relationships too. And that was just, That was just a mess, you know. My mom, when I turned around 18 years old, she ended up leaving my dad because, you know, she just couldn't take it anymore. And she's like, now you're old enough. And, of course, I was out doing my own thing, and she knew it. So she left. She left, and she's like, you can come be with me if you want, or you can stay here with your dad. And, of course, I chose to stay with my dad because that's where all the partying was going on, and my mom was straight and narrow, and, you know, I wasn't going to move with her. Because she would ruin what I was doing. And so I stayed with my dad, and I had a girlfriend move in, and it was just party central for quite a while. And my dad was, but yet it was embarrassing. I mean, I'd bring friends over, and my dad would be drunk on the floor, passed out with no clothes on. And like, here are me and my friends coming in, and we had a buzz, but we weren't to that point yet. And I was like, good God, you know, Dad, get a grip. And then I felt like the babysitter. I mean, like, I felt like, and he would want to go out with us, which was kind of cool in a way, and because I used to go out with him when I was like 16, 17, and I could drink, which was really cool. I don't know if they thought I was his girlfriend or what, but I could just go to like wherever bar he was, and I could drink. Like, I never got ID'd or anything, which is really cool to me. And then I'd get some of my friends to go, and we'd just all go hang out with my dad and his friends and drink for a long time. Until then, you know, I think when I was 18, I got a fake ID and started, you know, going to bars and stuff like that. But when my mom moved, you know, then my dad would sometimes come hang with us, and we'd all go. But I always felt like when he was there that I had to, like, babysit. You know, because I had to get him home safely, and then, I don't know, and then I'd go do my own thing, but who cares how I got home, you know, I mean, it was just, and who I was home with, you know, it was just like, it kind of like when I drank, I just didn't ever know what was going to happen, because I couldn't plan anything out, like, I think I had a plan, but it never went through that way, one of the abusive boyfriends I dated, actually, we dated, broke up. You know, that's just a long saga story there. You know, my dad got in a fight with him in the driveway. I mean, it was just a real mess, you know, that I put my family through with that, you know. And even though my dad was drinking, I mean, that still was so unacceptable. You know, not acceptable behavior. And today, you know, and that person, you know, those abusive boyfriends were, like, on my resentment list and everything, too. But, you know, I know that I put myself in that place. So, you know, I take responsibility, too, for that today, which is good. And so, you know, through all that, and then, you know, I went to college. My parents were going to pay, you know, for me to go to college after high school. And I did, and they said they'd pay as long as my grades were pretty good. I did, like, one semester, and my grades were terrible. You know, it was bad. So I said, well, you know, I just won't do that anymore. They didn't have to tell me. I just said, you know, I won't do that anymore. And because college was all about going and finding those same people and partying. I mean, that was it. That's all I went for. I did go to class, but it was just to find out what was going on that weekend or that night, or and also through this, you know, the cousins I was telling you about that, like, couldn't come spend the night and stuff. In high school, I did, you know, I said I did pretty okay, average in high school, and I played sports, cheerleading, softball, you know, field hockey, all that stuff in high school, and with my cousins, they were all my age, but then later on, you know, when boys came into play and started dating and stuff. I mean, I would so, like, stab my cousin in the back for her boyfriend. You know, like, I remember that I dated this one guy for a brief period, and then one of the abusive guys I dated, we actually moved to Florida. Spur of the moment. I was like, oh, I'm gone, you know. Call my mom and dad, like, from the phone. You know, I'm moving to Florida, you know. Don't try to reach me, you know, just crazy, absurd stuff, because my mom was going to have this guy arrested for beating me up, and I thought, you don't need to interfere with our stuff, you know, it was the bad stuff. So I moved to Florida, and that was horrible. I mean, that was horrible. I was there for a few months, and And then when I eventually came back, I had to come back with none of my clothes or anything because, you know, just what I was wearing because he was so abusive. I couldn't get anything out of the house. I mean, it was just a mess, you know. And then my mom met me halfway. She was always there, you know, poor thing. And she ended up going to Al-Anon and going to church and stuff, and she got smarter. But she's still with my dad today. I'll finish up that story later. But she, so I came back from Florida, and that cousin I was telling you about, so she started dating, kind of serious, that other guy I just dated briefly at the point. And I saw him at a party, and I was just out drunk, and my cousin wasn't there. He was there, and I was like, oh, you guys are dating? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I'm trying to go home with him, and he's dating my cousin. I mean, and now they're married today. So it's just, you know, they're married, I'm married, and I see them at functions. And, you know, and with my fourth step and doing all that stuff and then making amends and stuff, I mean, the cool thing about that was I got to go to her, you know, like a year ago or something, and, like, make amends to her because it was so uncomfortable. And I'm married, have a kid, you know, she's married, has two kids with him. I mean, it was just so uncomfortable for me, and I'm sure it was uncomfortable for her, too. But anyway, made that amends, and I know I'm kind of skipping around, but that was wonderful. I mean, like, now I feel like I'm a family member again. You know, my grandmother, I can remember her coming over to my house, just my mom's mom, because I'm sure my mom, like, just, she probably knew a great deal about what was going on from my mom. So she would just come over and lay into me and my dad and just tell us how awful we were, and I hated her. Like, I was like, I hate that grandma. Like, I love my other grandma, the one who, she doesn't drink either, but, and she stayed with my alcoholic grandfather, and she still is with him. But, you know, I loved her. But my other grandmother, who wanted to tell me that I was, you know, I was a slut, or I was, you know, just lying all the time, and I was treating my mom terrible, I hated her. And I had to make amends to her, too. And the weird thing was, I still, when I came in here a couple years ago, you know, she was on my resentment list. And I was just like, God, you know. But my sponsor, who's wonderful, it's not like she made me do anything, but she just gave me suggestions. And now that grandmother, I call her like once a week, you know. So, and I see her, and she's been to my house, and she's seen my kids, and I feel comfortable with her now. And it's just weird how that all worked out. From this program only, because, like, I don't know. I don't think it could have happened any other way. And let's see. So as far as, then I'll just skip on to, you know, just some bad relationships, you know, just normal stuff like that, I guess, for alcoholics. And then another little story, you know, getting in trouble, like, with the law and stuff. I never, like, went to jail. I never had a DUI. I surely could have. I mean, like, I could have been caught driving my dad's truck home at 10 years old, you know? And all my thoughts were, if a cop ever pulled me, I'd be like, well, would you rather my drunk dad or me being 10 or 12 or however old I was drive home, you know? And so I just never, you know, I guess I was pretty lucky, or maybe not so lucky. Maybe I would have come a little sooner if I would have gotten caught, but I don't know. So, you know, one particular time I remember, this was probably one of the few times, I mean, I had fake IDs and those abusive boyfriends, they would try to get me kicked out of places I went to. So there were some encounters with the law, but never any real consequences there. Just really making an ass out of myself, and they probably could have arrested me for, because when I drank, it was like I was so little and so sweet and innocent somewhat. But then when I drank, it was just like I was a loudmouth, obnoxious, you know, no couth, you know, just bad, you know. I didn't care. And so I would, like, smart mouth a cop or whomever. I mean, authority just really didn't matter. You know, grandparents, none of that stuff. It really didn't matter to me. Or maybe somewhere deep down it did, but it was all covered up. Like, I just, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really care. And then I got, you know, as time went on, you know, I knew, I was like, you know, I need to find the right guy. I need to find someone that's going to treat me good because that's going to make a difference. You know, I always blamed everyone else. And so then, just one particular story, I have my brother-in-law here with me tonight, so I'll just add this little story in of how we met and how my husband and I met. That's been about almost 9 or 10 years ago, something like that. One of my girlfriends, who's pretty wild too, she called and she's like, she knew I was spur of the moment and would do anything, so she called and she's like, I'm riding down to Tennessee to, you know, to see my boyfriend. Do you want to go for the weekend? And I was like, sure, because, you know, I was always up for anything. And she probably knew that. So, you know, we drank pretty much the whole way, and my husband today actually rode with us, which was, you know, her boyfriend's brother at the time. And I had never met him, and we just went along, and it was fun, you know, just drinking, partying. He was getting high, and we were just driving down, and it was a good time. And then we get there, and we hit it off pretty good, and I'm not really sure, like, why he, you know, chose me, because it's weird that, you know, I was pretty much drinking. I mean, it was all about drinking to me, the whole trip. So, you know, and his grandmother was really cool because that's what she liked to do too, which was pretty cool. I mean, she was from Scotland and she just would drink it up. I mean, and I was like, I love her. And so pretty much the whole weekend was about drinking. You know, we'd hang out and cook out and then be going to a bar and drinking, and his grandmother would be behind the bar, like grabbing, you know, saying, I want that liquor or whatever. And it was cool. And so this, you know, this guy and I kind of hit it off, and we exchanged numbers and all that. And it's like, well, and, you know, I found out a little bit about him. You know, he had a career. He'd been to college, you know, just, you know, pretty good stuff. And he seemed like a really good guy. And I was like, God, you know, I came home. I was like, Mom and Dad, you know, I met this guy. He's really great. And they're probably like, whatever. And at this point, my mom and dad, the story with them was my dad went really downhill when my mom first left, like, drugs. I mean, he's always done a little drugs, but it got worse, you know, drugs, alcohol, all that. But then, like, I don't know, my mom started going to church and Al-Anon and everything I told you, and she actually, they were separated, but she started dating, like, a deacon at her church. And I guess my dad heard word of it because my mom went to church with my dad's sister and, like, my aunts and stuff on my dad's side of the family. And they'd probably tell him. I don't know. But anyway, so he ended up, I think his last drunk, like, really bad, he went up to the church when the deacons were all meeting and approached the preacher and was just like, you know, what is going on? You know, what kind of faith do you guys have going on here? Because your deacon is dating my wife, you know, and all this. And we're from Hopewell, and I don't know if you know where that is. It's a pretty small town. And so, I mean, like, you know, it was embarrassing because a lot of people went to that church and knew me, knew my mom, you know. Oh, and meanwhile, so as far as jobs for me, so I told you I quit college because I didn't want to waste any more of my parents' money, and I got a job, which was my first, well, I worked when I was like 15 too, like with a worker's permit, like in a Blockbuster or something like that. But that was before drinking went pretty wild. So I did that for a little while and then went to college after I graduated and then didn't do that much longer. And then came back and I got a job at a bar / hotel, which was pretty cool because I could go and drink underage. And it was just, it was fun, you know. It was right by Fort Lee military base, and, you know, lots of guys would come in, and that was always fun, and, you know, and the rule was that we were not supposed to be on the property unless, you know, we were working. So, one time, a girl that worked there, her husband was in the military, and he had moved, and, you know, it was just my dad and I living together at the time, so she moved in for just like a 2-week period, and she worked with me, so I was like, well, we'll go up and pick her up. This was one of the nights my dad and I were going to go out together, so we went to my job, and I wasn't working, but so I wasn't supposed to be there. Went in to the bar, and you know, we had a couple drinks and waiting on my friend to get off because she lived with me. So that was a good excuse. And it ended up being, I mean, because the people that were staying at the hotel knew me because I worked there, so it ended up just being a great night. It was fun. I mean, like, we had a great time. Everybody was drunk. I saw it. And the next day when I went to work, I got fired. So that was my first job getting fired. I mean, and I called my dad because I was like, it's your fault, you know. I had to have somebody to blame. I was like, why did we go up there, you know, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't have said we should go up there, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you got fired, you know, and he was at work. And so that was kind of a funny story. And that was my first time losing a job. And I did kind of feel like crap, you know, because I was like, oh, I've quit college. I just got fired. What am I going to do? You know, I'm like, I guess I'm 18. I don't know, 19-ish. And so somehow I ran into this other opportunity for a job. My mom has always taken me to the dentist, you know, since I was like 3. And the dentist's sister, she parties quite a bit. And I saw her somewhere. And she was like, you know, I'm leaving my brother's office because he's an ass, you know. So I can't work for him anymore. And she is a dental assistant. And she's like, and your mom told me about you. And, you know, do you want to go give it a shot? And I'll tell them about you. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I'll try that. So I actually looked into some dental assisting schools because I was like, well, maybe I need a little experience. And so I went to a dental assisting school for a while, and at this point I had another boyfriend. I think always, like, and that was a pretty responsible boyfriend, too, considering all the ones that weren't. This guy was pretty, he was a little bit older, and he, like, kept me straight for a little while. So I went to this dental assisting school. And I got the job, which was really cool. And I still work there today. It's fine, not as a dental assistant, but so it's just weird how that works out. But so I got that job, and I was like so happy about it. And that kind of kept me focused for a while. Of course, I'd go out on the weekends and drink, and later on, I'd go out and drink during the week and show up to work and, you know, be in people's mouths, reeking of alcohol, just coming out of my pores, you know. And I cannot believe today that I still have that job, for one, because were they stupid? I mean, did they not smell? You know, I was never approached. It's just, I don't really know how that happened. But, you know, so after the whole, I know I'm jumping around, but my mom and dad got back together, you know, after that. My dad, he does not come to AA, but he has not drank in, I guess, over 10 years. And he's happy, and they're happy, but, you know, I do see he gambles. You know, there's other stuff going on, and that's so not for me to get into, but, you know, I worry about it because, like, now, if he goes golfing, he doesn't hang out with the same old people he used to or anything, but he does work with one guy who used to come over and party. So every once in a while, they'll golf or whatever, and I always worry. You know, I have this, because of what I hear in these rooms, I'm like, you know, eventually he may drink again, you know, if he doesn't have a good solution. And someone asked me the other day, they were like, well, maybe he was a hard drinker, and I'm like, well, no, I don't think, you know. But anyway, so I often have a little fear about, you know, this is a fear that comes up on inventory sometimes, that, you know, he's going to drink. And what's going to happen then? You know, he has a grandchild that he loves and, you know, all this stuff. So there's just a little fear about that. So if he goes out golfing, I'll call, you know, and that night I'm just like, hey, Mom, what's going on? You know, just nonchalant. Would never let them know that's why I'm calling. But, you know, and then I'm like, hey, let me speak to Dad, you know, because I just want to hear him, make sure I can't tell. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, so, you know, because I just have that worry. But anyway, hopefully that'll get removed. I keep praying about that. So back to me in the Tennessee. So I met this really great guy, and I came home and told my mom and dad about him, and we actually, you know, we started dating, and I really didn't do much partying, because I was like, wow, he's great, you know. I mean, we drank, our relationship did start out drinking that weekend, and then, you know, and then I found that he really didn't drink like me, and, you know, and I had to, if this was a great guy, I really needed to shape up, because, you know, I couldn't let him see, you know, just how out of control things could get. So we dated for, I guess, a couple years, and then he proposed, but I can remember times like, you know, just being at his apartment and stuff, and he had a roommate who went out and partied some, and they'd all come over and get ready to go out, and I was like, damn, I want to go, you know, and we were sitting on the couch watching a movie, and like, I was content, but not really, you know, I wanted to go too, like, I wanted to go out, and I wanted to go drink, and, but somehow, I guess my drinking was kind of controlled at that point, in a way, for a relationship, you know, but then it just got out of control, you know, like, that lasted for a while, And then, you know, I talked myself out of getting married. I was like, I'm just not ready, you know. A lot of stuff was going on, just, you know, I was lying, going out again, you know, just not being truthful and, you know, and cheating on someone that I was going to marry. You know, just horrible, you know, stuff that happens, you know. And yet this guy's great, you know. But anyway, so we broke it off, you know, for a couple months, and because, you know, he found out all that stuff, and it was bad. I mean, at this point, we had a house together that we had bought. You know, we weren't married, but we bought a house together, and so then my dad's coming up, helping me move all stuff out, and it was just huge. The neighbors are looking, you know, and it's just like, ugh, you know, and then the inside, I was feeling like, oh, how disappointing, you know. My aunt was going to put the wedding on at her house, and it was just, you know, some plans were being made toward that, and I just felt like a failure. It's like, God, you know, and for those 2 months, you know, I'm like hanging out with a drug dealer and just, you know, because I could drink the way I wanted to over there, and people weren't judging me. You know, I would have to go home and hear my parents, because like I said, my mom and dad were back together at this point. My dad was not drinking anymore, so he was starting to get strict, and I was like, geez, I'm over. You know, I'm 21 years old. Don't tell me what to do. You know, to my dad, I was like, can't believe you're telling me what to do. You know, who are you? Who are you? But, so, you know, just letting them down. You know, letting my parents down, letting everybody down. And I guess, you know, I can relate to the book where it's like, what is it, a tornado running through people's lives. And that's kind of what it was. So that went on for a while. And then, my ex-fiance and I ended up talking again and then working things out. So I don't know how. He took me back, which is absurd. But he did. And so I go back and, you know, and things are great. But it's on the condition that I do not drink. So I started going to some counseling because I was like, I've got to maintain this, you know. Started going to counseling and talking about my relationships and how they've all failed and how I had abusive, you know, just everything you talk about with a counselor, but drinking never really came up because I wasn't putting that together, I guess. But she did because the counselor, like, I guess after hearing me for a while, you know, she ended up giving me an AA when and where. And I was like, wow. You know, so I did. I went to a meeting that she circled. And then I think I stopped going to her. But I went to that meeting and on Saturday mornings, and I was like, wow, you know, I related to what the people were saying, whether it was my own situation or my dad or whatever, you know, I was just totally relating, and I felt so good at the meeting. It was a huge meeting, and so many people that I didn't have to really meet anybody. I just went in, sat down, heard what I wanted to hear, and felt good and left, and I can remember some being out, and I'm on the phone, and I'm like, wow, it feels so good, you know? And so for like a whole year, I didn't drink. My husband and I got married, And it was all pretty good. And then I decided I need to get a career going. I'm still working for this dentist, assisting him. And I go back to the dental school at MCV. I got accepted, which was, oh, so I was, like, going to school, too, because at the college that I went to, only, like, two things transferred. And I was embarrassed when I applied at MCV to show them what did transfer, like D's and, you know, and I was like, I'm never going to get in with that. But my other college that I did have during that year or two, it was probably a year or two when we were married, I was going to school and working, so I made like straight A's. I was like, wow, you know, So I was really focused. I wasn't drinking, and I was focused into school, and I really wanted to go back to the dental school. So I got in, and that was great. And so I finished up that. And but during that, okay, so I didn't drink for a whole year going to that meeting every now and again. Then I felt better, and I just quit going. And then about a year went by, and I was in my second year of school there. And, you know, I was always listening to the people talking about the parties they were going to, and they were going out after school, you know, for some drinks and all that stuff. So I got right back into that. I mean, like, I was like, and I would put myself in crazy places. And like I said, about the AA, I did not meet anyone. Like, I did not go in and get into anything. I didn't get a number. I don't remember hearing the steps. I just kind of heard what I wanted to hear. Not saying that meeting wasn't good, because it probably was. I don't know. I just wasn't listening for that stuff, and I wasn't connecting, so it was just in and out, and I felt better and didn't drink for a year, and that was it. So I started drinking again. It was, I remember it, the first drink I had, it was one glass of wine, and I was cocktailing a party for, like, someone called me. They were opening this grand open. They were like, hey, can you serve drinks? You know, we'll pay you. And it was great because I had done it before and made great money in, like, a couple hours. So I called one of my friends from the hygiene school, and we went in, and she didn't know I didn't drink because, like, it was a secret. Like, I didn't want to not be cool at school, at dental school, so I was like, you know, I'm not going to tell these people I don't drink. They're going to think I'm a freaking, you know, freak or something. I don't know. I thought everybody drank. So, and plus I wanted to still be in the cool crowd. I mean, that's just the ideas I had going on. So, this girl that I took with me that night, she didn't know that I didn't drink. So she, like, had us both a glass of wine sitting there. And it was just as easy as that. You know, I thought about it. I was like, oh, one glass, you know. And I really only had one glass that night. Went home and told my husband, because I did have all this guilt. And I was like, ooh, you know, and I told him. He was like, you did? And he didn't think it was that big a deal either, because it had been so long. And then I ended up talking him into that was okay. And then it's okay, and we'll go out and drink together, and I'll only drink with you, and I'll only have one or two, and that's just, you know, I just talked us into that. We'd go on ski trips, and it ended up being, we'd go on ski trips, and he goes to bed early. We both go to bed early, but, you know, if I'm drinking, I'm not going to bed early. So we'd go on this one ski trip, I remember this, and, you know, I had, like, one or two, like, I was supposed to, and then he went to bed. And then I, like, went to town. Like, yeah, you know, and just drink. And then the next day, he had no clue because, you know, I was really hungover, and we were supposed to go out skiing. And all the friends we were with at the house were like, damn, Melissa, you know, last night was a trip. You were on the table and da-da-da. And I was like, oh, my God. And then, you know, they didn't know not to say anything, you know. So then, you know, just one thing led to another, and just things got really out of control again. I mean, you can imagine. Then I was, you know, then I was having to hide drinking from them. Because that's what I want to do. And in this meantime, we wanted to have a family. Like, because I'm 30 or whatever. Now I'm 31. So I was like 20, I don't know, 28, 29. It's time to have kids, you know. And he's 3 years older than me, so he really wanted kids. So part of this time, we're trying to have babies, you know. And thank God it didn't happen then. You know, thank God. But I wanted it because he wanted it and because I thought I wanted it. You know, like, I think that'll really settle me down. Kind of like the marriage and everything else. So that stuff ended up happening. You know, I ended up having to lie, you know, about one of my cousins were getting divorced. And she really was. That was true. But she drank a lot, and I knew that, so she didn't have her kids that weekend, and she's like, come down, you know, and hang out, and I'm telling him that I'm going to comfort her because she's getting divorced, you know, just some bunch of mess, you know, and that ended up catching up to me, and anyway, I ended up back in AA because to save my marriage, basically, and that's why I came back here this last time, and so, you know, I went to Jay Walker's, that was like close to my house. And thank God, because they were, like, on top of me, like vultures. They got my number. I got their numbers. I didn't call them. They called me. They were like, hey, meet me out for coffee. I don't drink coffee, but meet me out for whatever, you know, and I'd meet them out. And, you know, because I was really, I didn't want to lose my marriage. I mean, like, my parents never got divorced, so I'm never getting divorced. You know, that kind of thinking going on. And it was just like, I don't want to go down that road. You know, just all this going on. And I knew my behavior was terrible. And I just, you know, lots of guilt and stuff. So that's how I got back into AA. And this time, it's been great. I mean, like, this time, and, like, within a month of me getting back in AA, I was pregnant. I was like, wow. So, like, for 2 years or something, we're trying. We start to go fertility treatments. Because that's how badly he wanted, and I think I wanted a child, you know. And so we started to go through that, too, all while I was drinking. And never got pregnant. But then within, like, a month of coming in here, I got pregnant. So I think it's like a miracle, you know, that that happened. And so I got pregnant, and I was, you know, I didn't know. And I met Lynn the first night. I went to, like, a retreat with my sponsor, who I got a sponsor, I guess, about a month in or something like that. I remember going, and it was a meeting where you had to announce whether you had a sponsor or not. And it started getting really embarrassing because I was, like, the only one or a few people saying that they didn't have a sponsor. So I eventually asked someone, and I feel like I was interviewing people because I didn't know these people from Adam. I was like, how am I going to pick a – I mean, like – and I got a pamphlet, too, because I was like, I got to do this right, you know. And so I read, like, how to pick a sponsor and all this stuff, and I went home and took it to my husband. And, by the way, he went with me to meetings, like, all the time. And was so supportive, and still is. I mean, we have a child today and another one on the way. And so, you know, he doesn't get to go to as many meetings with me, but he is just in this fellowship too. I mean, he knows all my AA friends. You know, a lot of my friends have definitely changed. Just my whole life has changed. So I got that sponsor and had a couple girls, and then I've picked one. And she's come here to speak, I think, a month or so ago, Laura. And so she's my sponsor, and I picked her because, not that this is any criteria, but her birthday is like 2 days from mine. She's been married the same amount of time as me. She's an only child. I was like, wow, on one of these dinner dates we had, I was like, wow, maybe she's meant to be my sponsor, you know. So I asked her, and we started going through the book together at her house. We'd meet once a week, and then I'd go to, you know, she's like, for me to sponsor you, you know, you have to go to 3 committed meetings a week, talk with me, you know, regularly, meet with me regularly, go through the book, the steps, all that, get a home group, you know, all the stuff that we do. And so I did all that. I mean, I was just really willing, you know. It didn't take me to go to jail to be willing. You know, it just took me losing another relationship and just being a failure, I guess, and being just, you know, not having anything, because, I mean, I know what that's like to feel. I mean, I was just so alone, and I have been so alone, even, you know, drinking and thinking I was having a great time. I mean, I had a great time for a while, but then eventually it got to where all the friends and fun stuff went to the wayside, and I was at some drug dealer's house drinking, you know, and not even with people I would normally be with, you know. I don't know. And just really being alone, and I guess the drink would just, like, soothe that, and I just forget it, or just, like, get brainwashed and just have, I don't know, I kind of felt like I had a double life, you know. Had one, you know, people at my job would think I'm this great girl, and then, like, people that I'd see out would be like, oh, what trash, you know. I mean, like, I was like, phew, night and day. And so with Laura, so I graduated the hygiene school, too, and stayed with that job, and now I'm a hygienist since 2004, and still work for the same dentist and don't have to go in there, you know, hungover or worry about losing my job and stuff like that. And I've been through all the steps, and that's been good, and I continue to go through those. I mean, it was a one-time thing, I thought, but it's not, you know. I mean, like, today I just have to live that way, and you know, every day is not great. You know, still life happens and still I'm in crappy moods, you know, or whatever. But, you know, at least I have a set of tools to pick up and, like, use, you know, when I'm being what I'm being, you know. Like, although I'm not drinking, I still get irritable and all that stuff and then leash out at my husband, you know, and just be a bitch, you know, just whatever, you know. And I'm like, God, why does he put up with this crap, you know? But, not that he's perfect, but, you know, so we have that one daughter, and she came along, and it was weird. I was, like, picking up my 9-month chip, and I was, like, 8 months pregnant, you know, I was, like, a month behind. I felt weird. I was, like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm giving up. People think I'm getting sober because I was pregnant, but I swear I didn't know when I came in. You know, it was just weird ideas going on up there about that. And then, you know, it took us so long to conceive, you know, the first time, that this last time, you know, I was like, well, we just won't go back on birth control because we know we want more than one kid because I was an only one and we definitely want more than one. But, and we didn't know if we had trouble, but boom. I mean, like, it just happened. And it's just weird how that works because, like, we were not really trying, but at the time before, we were, like, timing it. Like, we had it charted out and stuff. So it's just weird how, you know, God works, obviously. And, so that's been a blessing. And, you know, just going through the steps. And now, as far as where I am is, you know, I'm still going through the steps. I reach out. You know, I'm not sponsoring anyone, which I always ask my sponsor. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not sponsoring anyone. But, you know, she's like, well, just pray about it. And when it's time, it will happen, you know, because I freak out. I hear people saying, oh, that's the best thing. And that, you know, and I'm sure it is. But, you know, I can't wait to experience that. So I'm, you know, I'm just not there yet. I mean, that just hasn't happened. I haven't had that opportunity. But I do reach out to the newcomers, get their numbers, you know. And I'm kind of shy a little bit, so I don't, you know, like, overwhelm them and be like, oh, do you have a sponsor to get, you know, I'm just not like that, so it just hasn't happened, but I am getting a little more comfortable, and, with that, and, you know, I still go to my committed meetings, and, still working through the steps. I joined a big book study. I have a great sponsorship family, so I go to a big book study on Sunday because I was like, wow, you know, I just need to do something else. You know, I know that I need to keep on doing stuff, you know, and my family sometimes, like, they know I'm not drinking, and that's great. Not my husband. He's always been supportive, but, like, my parents are like, you have a kid, and you're going to have another, and you're too busy for all those meetings you're going to. So that's kind of coming up, you know, and, like, because I am so, you know, I'm just busy and just stay going. You know, I spend plenty of time with my daughter because I only work part-time, fortunately, and so I get to spend lots of time with her and lots of time, and I still get to keep my career and lots of AA time. So everything's kind of split up, and it's fine with me, but my parents don't see it. You know, they sometimes give me a hard time about that, and they just don't understand, I guess. But and that's fine, as long as I do. And so I just got a couple minutes left, and just you know, I want to thank you guys for having me here to speak and asking me to come share. And I hope you guys, you know, related to some stuff I said. And you know, I still get nervous. I think this is like only the third time I've shared my story. I think, yeah, third time probably. And one of them was like a 20-minute. Quickie, so I was really nervous, but time kind of flew by, and it, I didn't think I'd have enough to say, but today where I'm at too is, you know, my husband and I are selling our house, and we're trying to buy another house, and that's kind of a big thing coming up right now, and I've just been praying about it, and you know, we have, like, a contract on one house. We need a bigger house because we got more, you know, more family coming and not enough room for all our stuff. So we think, you know, we need to make that move to be closer to family with more help, you know, more help for our babies and stuff. So we're trying to move closer to family and stuff like that. And so, but it's weird how I think about it today. I would normally stress about it, and, you know, I do get a little stressed. But to take care of that, I'm just kind of like, you know, in the back of my head, I know that whether that contract falls through or whatever, whether we don't sell our house, it's fine. You know, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm at peace because whatever's supposed to happen, it's kind of already planned, and it's not my plan, which, thank God, because, like, I just definitely related to the self-will run riot. You know, I mean, I had plans all the time, and, you know, it's just a mess what some of those plans can do to me and just get me all wound up. But, and that's about all I have to say. Thanks for letting me share and listening and having me. Thanks.